So many people get hung up on the cross that they never become the child that God intends them to become. You have to become born again to be a child of God. You are not born a child of God. You are born a child of Satan. Those are only two choices you have in life. You do not get to choose. You're not born neutral and you decide, well, I've done more good than bad. Then, gosh, you know, God's going to be pleased with me. God says you cannot please him in the flesh. So, therefore, you must have something different to be able to please him with. It says first comes flesh, then comes spirit. So all we can give flesh is flesh. So you are born in the flesh. That's all you are. You're born dead in your trespasses of sin. So therefore, there's got to be an illumination to something else in our life other than just us and what we can do to please God, because God says, you cannot please me. He proved that very valiantly in the first covenant that he made. That first covenant with the nation of Israel showed us very, very clearly that man falls short of God's glory. Man falls short in everything they try to do. You cannot do nothing in the flesh that at all that will be pleasing to God Almighty, that it must be done in spirit. You can't even worship in the flesh. Did you realize that? It says God is spirit, and those that worship God must be in spirit. Okay? The natural man cannot appraise spiritual things. He can't even if he wants to. But it's amazing how we ignore those verses of Scripture and those passages that he gave us, and yet we are so obstinate, and we're going to just try to explain God to ourselves and to others. And this is what has happened. This is why we've got all these different denominations, and that's why we got all these different religions, because man has determined, well, we'll decide what God is saying about all of this. When God says, hey, don't believe in me, but believe in the one that sent me. See, I come as a light. What is a light supposed to do? If I shine a light in your eyes, do you like that? If I take and shine a light in your eyes, do you like it? No. A light is to be a gentle guide. It's to give you bearing. It's so that you know your way. Jesus says that his word will be a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. Well, what's it guiding me to? See, Jesus Christ was the light that guides us to who? To God. Not to him, not to himself. And you hear all these people and all they talk about is Jesus. Jesus says, no, don't talk about me. I didn't come for you to bow down to me. I come for you to bow down to God, but it's going to be through me that you do that. Because that's what God has set forth. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way, the truth, the light. But once you go and find that way, then it's to be to God. It's to him that gets all the glory. When they called Jesus good, Jesus said, wait a minute, don't call me good. There's only one that's good, and that is God. He goes on to say, in verse 47, if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. You got to understand that Jesus has a purpose, God's purpose. It wasn't Jesus' initiative to come. Jesus did not want to leave glory. Jesus didn't want to become sin on your and my behalf so that we would reconcile with God. It was God's plan, and Jesus was obedient to the Father to the point of death. To the point of grieving sweats of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, Father, if there's any other way, if there's any other way that this can pass and we can do it a different way, let's do it. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. So see, Jesus was obedient even on a path, of course, of life that he didn't even want to take. He goes, I'm not going to come to judge the world. He says, even if you don't hear, if you hear these words, you don't even keep, I'm not the one judging you. You see, we forget that God has already judged mankind and condemnation has been set. Do we even know the difference between condemnation and conviction today in our world, in our churches? It seems like the world, the churches have taken on the responsibility of condemning. And we're going to talk about convicting, because you got to understand these two concepts that God talks about. Condemnation is that I am very sorry, I am very upset, I am very angry for what you've done, and now there's going to be a punishment. And that's what God has decreed for all mankind. So the condemnation has already happened. He sent Jesus into the world to be a light so that you wouldn't be condemned and have to go through that condemnation. Read John 3:16. It's not that God so loved the world. He so loved the world that you wouldn't perish. You see, man likes to stop in the middle of the scriptures to fulfill their own desires of what they want the scriptures to read. He sent his son so you wouldn't perish, not because he loved you. Now, there is love in there, don't get me wrong, or he wouldn't have sent his son. But you got to understand the purpose in that son, and the purpose of that love is so that you and I don't perish. Because Jesus says, I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not here to condemn you. I wasn't my purpose to condemn you. My purpose was to be a light to lead you to the one that can save you. God is the one that saves us. God is one that impregnates us with the Holy Spirit when we become children of God, and the Holy Spirit lives within us to work now, guide us, direct us, and God's purpose through us. And we forget that sometimes. We forget what this is all about. Religion has come in and made it so complicated. You go to one place that said you get sprinkled to go to heaven. Another one says you have to be baptized to go to heaven. Another one says, gosh, you know, if you don't do works, you can lose your salvation. And another one says, so what in the world is a lost world supposed to do? Because we have not stood up for the Word of God, and we have not said no. If all you are is Methodist or all you are is Baptist, you're going to die and go to hell. I'll put it bluntly and plainly. God does not have any respect for a denomination of man, but only for his word that he sent into the flesh to give us a light so that we would know who God is. And we have altered it to the point where no one can even know who God is anymore. Listen to this. It says, I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. In verse 48, he says, and he who rejects me does not receive my sayings as one who judges him. The word I spoke is what I will judge him at the last day. Now, Jesus' purpose does change. He's going to come again. And he will execute the judgment of God upon those that don't believe in God. Through his son, Jesus Christ. That's his next purpose. You see, we in religious have this as a glorious, wonderful, incredible day, and it is, but not for everyone. Only those that have died before us who were children of God that are now resting in their resting place, their bodies are resting, of course, their souls are in heaven with him. But their bodies wait patiently for that resurrection where the body, they'll meet Christ in the air and they'll be given a new body. They'll be given a body like the angels. Did you know that? We're not going to be given in marriage and marrying and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be, you know, your relatives aren't going to matter. I hate to be the Debbie Downer here, but your grandpa isn't waiting in heaven with his arms opened up to see you. The Heavenly Father is. If heaven is like most people describe heaven, I don't want to go there. It's about illumination of God. It says that you won't even need the sun or the moon because God's illumination is going to take care of all of that. It's going to be so bright. And just his presence. You're not going to need a moon and a sun and a star. We have just so altered the Word of God and his purpose that Satan has become very successful in his own kingdom here in deceiving us. But we can't blame Satan for our deception because God wrote it very plainly in his Word, didn't he? No one can stand before and say, God, I didn't know. You can't stand before him and say, I didn't know. You can't stand before God and says, well, my intentions were good. He doesn't care about our intentions. He cares about, are you applying the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and using the help of the Holy Spirit to get you through this world? because you're to be a light. And we'll talk about that if we have time a little bit later. How Jesus was a light to lead to the Father, so are you. See, you're not to condemn the world. God already did that. But for the world not to perish, you and I have to be the light that God has called us to be. See, and Jesus goes on to say in verse 49, I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment. Isn't it amazing that Jesus took commandments from the Father? See, we somehow don't understand that Jesus had to learn obedience. It says in Scripture that he learned obedience through living in the flesh, that Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, learned obedience. And yet somehow we believe because God sent his Son that, gosh, the obedience doesn't matter. And I've told you before that you don't keep the commandments to be saved, but you keep the commandments because you are saved. The obedience of God never left. Yes, it's grace. Yes, it's mercy. We are saved by all those things, but we too walk in faith and we carry out that faith. What are we carrying out in our faith? The obedience of God. Jesus said, I'm your friend if you do what I say. 1 John says, you say you love me, but you don't keep my commandments. You're a liar. Well, we don't want to use that word anymore because it's not politically correct. It's amazing as I grow how politically incorrect God is. So you see, religion has to create a God that's politically correct. And this is what all the people are following. They're not following the Word of God. They're following some man's interpretation of the Word of God. He didn't speak on his own initiative. He only did what God told him to do. And if he's our example, then we are to follow that example and we're to do what God tells us to do. And when we don't even pick up the Word of God to find out what God said to do, how in the world can we keep what God said to do? Oh, we're all going to heaven, right? Because God died on a cross. Wow. If that's all he did was die on a cross, whoa, we're in trouble. If that's all God did was die, we're in trouble. No, it's God raised him from the dead. You know why God raised him from the dead? Because God was pleased with the sacrifice. And now the blood of Christ is what covers the sin of mankind. And all mankind has been saved, but all men will not receive that reward because of the disobedience and not seeking. See, God, through his word, draws us to who he is. And if you pick up other books that are written about this book, and you read those books more than you read this Holy Scripture, you're in trouble. I'll tell you right now, you're in trouble if you read those books more than you read the Holy Scripture. He didn't say, some man's going to write a book, read it. No, he said, I gave you the Word. I gave you Holy Scripture. Truth and answers are in there. And yet, we don't pick it up and we don't read it. We don't meditate on it. Because we're listening to a bunch of lies. See, the last thing you want to do is stand before Almighty God and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. You see, we made a doctrine out of knowing Jesus. I hope I can, the Word of God will ring true to you that where religion falls short in changing it. Jesus never said in there, it's all about me. It says, it's through me, but it's still all about him. And this Jesus religion thing, even the Bible warns us that if someone comes to you preaching a different Jesus than we preach, then run. Don't accept it. Just because some man stands up in the pulpit, just because some preacher stands up there and Ben's got some PhD behind his name, we somehow believe everything they say. When God took a bunch of stupid fishermen and revealed himself to a bunch of dumb shepherds, And we somehow lost the truth behind Scripture in that God uses ordinary people and people with a poor spirit, not a proud of heart. God says He hears those that are broken. He hears those that are broken. He goes on to say, I know that His commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. It's very dangerous for anyone to stand up and say, well, God says this and God says that, when you don't know what God says. But how many people do we say, well, here's what God says, and I can go into Scripture and find out, well, that's not what He said. It's not what He said at all. And I only speak what the Holy Spirit tells me to speak. We should live only the way the Holy Spirit tells us to live. And He's only going to do that through His Word. That's why in Revelation it says, if anyone adds to this book or takes away from this book, then the plagues of this book will be added to his life. God didn't intend for anybody to write anything else. But see, that makes a lot of religious people angry, because they think they're doing something for God when this book says, no, it's not what you're doing for God, it's what God has done for you that matters. But see, we somehow have this pride within us that says we got to now, we reach a certain level of maturity of our Christian walk, and now we got to go do something great for God. God already did something great. He saved humanity. He wiped away the sins of the world through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we're to build on. That's the foundation that God gave us to build on. Look at John 16. Seven through 13. He goes on to say, and Paul writes, John writes, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. What's a helper? Why is He called the Holy Spirit a helper? Because you need help. You know, the worst thing that we have is our pride in determining that we won't accept help. And yet, I'm going to spend more hours studying the Bible. I tell my, don't study the Bible. Nowhere in Scripture can you support studying God's Word. It's going to make a lot of religious people mad again and angry, because that's what they like to do, is put Bible studies up. And then they try to tell people what God is saying instead of allowing them to spend intimate time with God and let God tell you what He's saying, because the Bible goes on and says you need no man to teach you. See, we skip all of those. You know why we skip those passages of Scriptures? You know why? Because I don't want you to read those. Because then I can't tell you what I want you to know. So see, religious people get angry when they hear the Word of God. Who got angry? Was it the lost world that got angry when they heard the Word of God? No, a lot of those repented. Who got angry? It was the Pharisees and those religious people, those religious leaders. They're the ones that got angry when they heard truth. But He says, I'll tell you the truth. I'm going to send you a helper. He said, they wanted Jesus to stay. I mean, can you imagine walking around and healing the blind and making the lame walk and the deaf to hear and raising people from the dead? And my goodness gracious, why? I mean, this guy can't go. We need this guy. And they were upset because he was going. He said, no, it's your advantage. You know what the advantage is? This physical is all temporary. There is something greater. There's an eternal life to be had. And if Jesus doesn't go, He doesn't fulfill the plan of God, then you or I are still in our sins and we're hopeless or helplessly lost. So see, it was an advantage for Jesus to leave. It was a great advantage, because why? Why? Because He was going to do something that Jesus couldn't do. Well, wait a minute. No, Jesus was in the flesh. He was very finite on what He could do. God allowed Him to do something. He didn't raise every dead person, only the specific ones that God used for a purpose to glorify him and show that Christ had authority over all. And in verse 8 it says, "And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin," not plural. I'm going to think about that. "And righteousness and judgment." So what does it mean to convict? The true definition is to shed light on what's wrong. So he convicts the world in their disbelief of who God is. See, if you don't read all of the scriptures and you try to make a religion of just part of it, you're going to get lost in it. You see, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is a disbelief of who God is and what God says. And God says, "I'm going to send my son, and through him comes the righteousness of me. And it's only through him that you can come to me." So he convicts the world of that sin of disbelief. You see, it's a sin. It didn't say homosexuality. It didn't say drunkenness. It didn't say, see, that's what the church does. And I'm going to put church in parentheses because a real church won't do this. Okay? That modern day church is not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? There's only one church, and you have to be born into it. You don't join it. If you've joined a church, you're lost. If you have joined a church, you are lost. You are born into the church. And it doesn't matter where you locally worship, you've got to be born into the body of Christ. Okay, and that's the only way you get there. So concerning this sin of unbelief, so what happens is when people begin to read the scripture, they begin to hear God. Where's hear come from? There's the only place. Where can you hear? By reading the Word of God. Where does faith come from? By hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. You can't get it any other place. You see, this is another passage of scripture that none of the modern day preachers will preach, tell you about, because they want to tell you what you do. They want to build a bigger building. They want you to give more of your money. They want you to give more of your time. They want you, and then people that are at work and around you and where you meet are going and dying, going to hell, and God can't even bring somebody your way because you're so caught up in religion and you're so caught up in what you're doing for God that you can't be amused by God. And that's the fallacy of the world that we have nowadays and what we're doing, and we're trying to portray something that's not even truth of God. Concerning sin, because they don't believe, let's back this up. Remember, anybody says something about God, you ought to be able to open up the Word of God and be able to find it. So concerning sin, okay, we're going to split them up. Because they do not believe in me. Okay, so Holy Spirit's going to help them to hear, but only through the Word of God can that happen. Okay? Not a Bible study. Okay? Not a concert. Not some emotional experience that you have in your life. But God was very narrow when he said, it's going to be through my Word. And you're going to be able to hear me. Okay? And then I'm going to give you faith. I'm going to give you the faith to believe so that you can receive. See, it's all about, do you know Jesus? No. Have you been born again? No. And then, do you believe? No. Have you received? Because if you believe and haven't received, then your belief is in vain. Until you have received the Holy Spirit, you're not a child of God. His Spirit bears witness of our spirit that we're children of God. It's a supernatural act that God performs on a human in humans. And if that hasn't happened, you're. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how many books you read. I don't care how many people pat you on the back and tell you how good you are. If the Spirit of God does not bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, you're going to die and go to hell. See, we forgot that. And this is what the Holy Spirit's helping us to do. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to have the freedom in the life of someone instead of you coming along and telling them, oh, it's okay. God understands. God never understood sin. God doesn't understand sin. And God will never cohabitate with sin because he's holy. He's more holy than he is loving. And his love is dictated by his holiness. That's for it says that if those that reject him, they have to go into eternal punishment because he's holy. He wouldn't be holy if that didn't happen. It's not that he doesn't love them. It's because he's holy. And we don't even know the definition of holy. We don't know what it looks like for something to be pure because we live in a world that says it's okay if it's good enough. And if it's not good enough, guess what? We'll make it good enough because we'll change the rules to make it good enough. God doesn't change who he is to make it good enough. There's only one way, and that's through his Son, through the help of the Holy Spirit, that you receive faith, that you can apply that faith to the words that you read. And then you begin to hear, and you begin to walk. And then, what else does the Holy Spirit do? And concerning righteousness, so he kind and proves what's right in our lives. Righteousness is not based upon feelings. Well, do I feel that it's right? Do I feel that it's wrong? No, it's what's written in God's Word, and it's right regardless. Don't yoke yourself with unbelievers. I don't have to pray about that one. Okay? If you're dating somebody that's not a believer and you think you're going to convert them, yeah, you'll convert them to religion. But you're not going to convert them to Christianity because only God can do that. And they will have more influence on you than you have on them. And if we have time, I'll prove that because I've got scripture that will prove that. It says that bad morals corrupt good morals. It doesn't say good morals have an influence on bad morals. It says that bad morals have more of an influence on good morals. What do you think he wrote that for? So that you and I would know the danger, the deception that's out there. So this righteousness is for those that believe, and now he's using the Holy Spirit to direct you and guide you in your life to make decisions in your life based upon Scripture. Be honest. Be kind. How many people that go to church, and I put church in parentheses again, and they're not kind? I have people that supposedly they come up there and they're at the front desk and talking about God, and the people can't stand them because they're hateful. They have a problem and they're just nasty people. They won't pay their bills. You know, the people I have the hardest problem, VCA gets a hard problem getting their bills from is from people that are pastors. For some reason, they think they're entitled to not, well, I'm sharing God's word, everybody ought to pay my bills. Pastors are servants. They're not to be served by their congregation. There's no fruits of the Spirit in most of the people that call themselves that they know the Lord. There's no fruits of the Spirit. They're angry. They're bitter. They're just not nice. They're just not nice. But that's what his Holy Spirit does, is say, when I'm not nice, you know what he tells me? You're not nice. And it's not 2 weeks down the road that he tells me it's not right. It's immediate that something's wrong in my soul. Something's immediately wrong in my spirit. And then I search the scripture to find out what it is. And then I make restitution for it. See, we have taught everyone, oh, just say you're sorry. Or just ask God to forgive you. And that is a religion based on lies. It says godly sorrow brings about repentance. See, this isn't taught anymore. We don't preach this anymore. Because we've had our ears tickled. That's what we want. And God even predicted that, did he not? Did God not even tell us that there's going to come a time where people will not endure sound doctrine? And that they want their ears tickled? And they're going to put men in the pulpit? Huh? All these young guys coming out that got a PhD should never be a pastor of a church? Boy, I just made most of the world mad. Because they don't fit the qualifications for pastor. Read the qualifications. They don't have children that believe. Most of them aren't even married to one woman. They've been divorced 2 or 3 times. And those are the people that are leading the congregation of God. No, they are in religion, and they've been deceived, and they're leading a bunch of people. But guess what? You're responsible for where you believe. You're responsible for where you worship. Again, I tell them on Wednesday night, I heard on K-Love. Okay? I love K-Love because God leads me to righteousness. So they had a question to put out there. Well, how do you have a healthy church? We want you to call in and tell us what you have to have in place to have a healthy church. The number one answer was, got to have a good children's program. Boy, it sounds good, doesn't it? Huh? And then the other one was, you have to have a good Bible study. Do you know nobody said anything about the Holy Spirit? No one said about God leading the church? That you got to have Jesus as the head of a church to have a healthy church? Huh? None of that was said by anybody. Because religion doesn't know truth. Religion just tells you what sounds good and make it feasible for human efforts to please God. See, the Holy Spirit is to bring that truth into your life, and he doesn't just save you and then let you out there wander as an orphan, huh? See, God raises his children to be dependent. You and I raise our children to be independent. Totally against our nature. He wants you to be so dependent on him. Matter of fact, it says in his word, don't say you're going to do this tomorrow, or don't say you're going to do that tomorrow. It says, if God wills. And it also goes on to say that whatever you do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. I need no man to teach me. Does that mean he's going to put all preachers out of a job? No, it means that the preacher is to shed the light. He is only to shed light on what God has already said, not interpret for you. See, I only share what's written. I only share what he's taught. But I promise you, whatever he's taught me and I share, you should be able to go up and find it. But see, religious people like to argue. Religious people pick the Bible up to find out what, to support what they believe. And instead of picking up the scripture to find out what you should believe. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. So again, you've watched me. You've followed me. You've seen me heal the sick. You've seen me be righteous. You've seen me take beatings. You've seen me do all these things. And you've seen the word of God rejected. You've seen all of this. He said, but now I'm going to go. When I was here, I could correct you. Who's going to correct you now when I'm not here? He says, the helper will. The Holy Spirit will help you. Matter of fact, when you don't even know what to pray, it says the Holy Spirit will search your heart and lift up the prayers for you. Wow. That's amazing. And then it says concerning judgment. Because the ruler of this world has been judged. There's judgment coming. Satan has already been judged, and all of his followers. All of those that are not born again children of God were children of Satan. You were born dead in your trespasses of sin. flesh can only begot flesh. That's why the virgin birth was so critical. It's because Jesus was coming in the flesh, but he had the nature of God. He couldn't sin if he wanted to, because he's holy. You and I have the nature of our Father, which is the nature of Adam. It's all we have. It's all we have. And we can't do anything with it to please God. That's why the new birth experience, that's why he told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. Gosh, you're a teacher? You're one of the people out there teaching people about God, and you don't know this? Well, I don't see how somebody can go back in the mother's womb and get born again. So Jesus explained it like this. It's like the wind. You don't really know where it comes from. You don't know really where it goes. But by George, you know it's been there. And that's how Jesus defined salvation. See, we don't have an ABC of salvation. We don't have the Roman road. That's all religion. See, a natural person can't even know what any of that is. But someone with a broken heart goes to God and says, God, teach me. God, I don't believe. God, help my unbelief. Huh? And wasn't God impressed with the one gentleman that said, God, don't help my belief, but help my unbelief? You see, the Bible teaches in principles. He gave and wrote all this so that we would know. Not so we'd be ignorant. Not so that we'd have to depend on somebody else, but that we'd depend on him. The last thing I want for anybody to stand before Almighty God, and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Because you're so wrapped up in religion. So wrapped up in yourself. Not everybody is going to heaven. Matter of fact, there's only few that are going. Because he wrote it in there. See, the road to destruction is broad and there's many on it. But the gate to righteousness is very narrow and there's very few on it. It's not that he doesn't want it to be broad. All the stuff that you could believe, that somebody could tell you, and we wore masks and we took 6 foot apart when I can sneeze 8 feet. See, we stopped using our common sense that God gave us. God doesn't expect his children to get caught up in all this garbage of today's world. And yet, people that went and said they're children of God or they know God, and yet they had the same anxiety as the world had. So if you're a child of God, what's so worried about dying? Because they're not really hearing from the Spirit that they're children of God. And so they have anxiety. So religion has to come in and soothe their anxiety. I'm just showing you, I hope, that God is showing us this morning that how far we have come from his word in understanding truth. Two purposes of the church. One is to present God as holy and to worship him. And number two is equip the saints so they can become utilizable instruments by God to reach a lost world. There's nothing wrong with fellowship, and there will be a fellowship of the Holy Spirit when we get together. Nothing wrong with that, but it can't become the first place. It's got to be him.